job, great message. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Father who's given them to me is greater than all, and no one shall pluck them out of the Father's hand. We are sheltered hope. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing that, this is the purpose, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what you want to do today? Abound in the power of the Holy Spirit, abounding in hope. Let's pray. Father, I pray today that you'll give us greater hope as we have greater faith and trust in your word. I pray, Lord, that you'll use our strength and hope to be a mightier witness for you. Lord, we know that so many people are watching us. And Lord, I pray we'll always be ready to give an answer to every man that asks the reason of the hope that's in us, responding in meekness and fear. Let us be ready. Let us live it and share it. Strengthen our faith today. Strengthen our hope in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody needs hope. The down and out, the rich and famous. But if you don't have Jesus, you won't have hope. That's true for the down and out, the ordinary and out, and the rich and famous. It's up to us who have Jesus and have hope to tell others who don't know about Jesus so they can have hope too. And that's what Gladys Aylward did. Gladys Aylward. Born in London in 1902, she made her profession of faith in Christ in 1920. And a few years later, she came across an article of how people in China had never heard the gospel, and it greatly impacted her life. So much so, she applied to the China Inland Mission to go as a missionary, but she was denied. She got a job working as a maid in London, and while working there, she still sensed God's call to go to China. In frustration one day while cleaning a house, she took her Bible and she set it on a table. And as she was cleaning, she took what few coins she had, representing all the worldly wealth she had in the world, and she put those few coins on top of her Bible, and she prayed out loud, and I mean pretty loudly, God, if you want me to go to China, you're going to have to figure out how to get me there, because that's all I've got. My inn means beautiful grace. She called her 9 pence, the number of coins that she had for which she bought her. Word got out, Gladys was taking in abandoned children down at the inn. And before you know it, Gladys was running an orphanage with over 100 abandoned children ages 4 to 14. They now had an opportunity to hear the gospel. And they now had hope because of Gladys Aylward. War with the Japanese escalated in China in 1940, and Gladys had to march those children 300 miles on back roads and up mountains and down valleys. On the 12th day of their walking, they arrived at the Yellow River but had no way of crossing. All boat traffic had stopped. All civilian boats were hidden to keep them out of the hands of the Japanese. The children said, well, why don't we cross? Gladys said, there's no boats. The children said, but you taught us God can do anything. Ask him to get us across. So all the children, 100 plus of them, ages 4 to 14, they all knelt on the banks of the Yellow River, and they all prayed. And then after they prayed, they all stood up and sang a song of praise. A Chinese officer heard them singing. Said, what do you need? Gladys said, a boat. The officer got him a boat, and they crossed and were safe. Then Gladys came down with typhoid fever, really, really bad. So she had to go back to England. Gladys's co-worker took care of the children, and in time was able to take them back to the orphanage there at the inn, which continued for several years. By the way, you can look at several modern-day pictures online and see the inn of Yangcheng, China, where Gladys told children and adults about Jesus. On the walls of this building in very old paint in Chinese, if you can read Chinese, are the words, the Jesus Hall. The Jesus Hall, that's where she kept the children. 1947, Gladys tried to go back to China, but it was now a communist country, so instead she went to Formosa, which is now Taiwan, and she opened another orphanage, and it was later run by some of the adopted children she had in China. A book was written about Gladys called The Small Woman. Gladys got to meet the Queen of England. Hollywood made a movie about Gladys's life called The End of the Sixth Happiness. I think I'm going to watch that movie. A famous actress played the part of Gladys. And it's pretty amazing considering the fact the famous actress who played Gladys's part had just had an affair and a child by the man with whom she'd had the affair. And this famous actress was going through a really tough, hopeless time in her life and career. But she was so moved by Gladys's faith in Jesus and her ministry in China to the children. The third week of January of 1970, the actress made a trip to Gladys's apartment in Taiwan to see her. But tragically, Gladys died 2 weeks before she arrived of pneumonia. Well, the famous actress was so humbled to finally be in Gladys's small apartment. The co-worker who was staying there, running the orphanage in Taiwan now, told her about Jesus. And the actress knelt by Gladys's bed with weeping and tears, asking Jesus to save her and forgive her and give her hope in Jesus Christ, and the Lord did. In time, this famous actress was going to church, reading from the pulpit on Easter Sunday the narrative of the resurrection account in the Gospels at the Presbyterian Church of Palm Springs, California. Thanks to Gladys, many of the down and out in China now had hope through Christ. And at least one famous actress now had hope in Christ, leaving us to ask two questions. How can we be filled with this hope? Number two, who was that actress? Paul wrote Romans 15 to remind Jew and Gentile, it was always God's plan we Gentiles be included in God's plan of redemption. We ought to say amen. Not only did God say in Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and be saved all the ends of the earth, but Isaiah 52:10, all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. God wanted Gentiles to believe in Jesus so they could glorify God for His mercy and rejoice in God's goodness, praise God for His faithfulness, obey God's Messiah, and trust in God's promises. But also so they, like this famous actress who played the part of Gladys Aylesford, find hope in their personal lives. Romans 15 is about hope. If you want to increase the level of it you have, we need to understand these three important facts. Here they are. Fact number one, who fills us with hope? Who fills us with hope? Verse 13, first phrase. Now may the God of hope fill you. The subject here is God, the God of hope, the God who gives hope, the God who's the source of hope. And Paul expressed a prayer or wish for believers in Rome that God might fill them so that they could abound in hope. This is a prayer. This is a wish. It's a very rare tense called the optative mood, and it shows a wish or a prayer. Hope is a confident expectation of something good to come. It's more than a wish for something good to come. A child hopes they'll get an Xbox or whatever game it is that they're wanting. We hope for good weather. We hope for this. Listen, biblical hope is a confident expectation you'll receive what you hope because what you hope is based on the promises of God. That's the important thing. It's based on the promises of God. I hope Jesus rose from the dead. Of course He did. I hope heaven is real. Of course it is. And I hope I'll see all my saved loved ones again in heaven. Of course I will, because Jesus said I would. Therefore, my hope is based on the Word of God. More than an optimistic wish, it's a confident expectation. Knowing something will happen in the future because the Bible tells us it's going to happen. The centurion hoped Jesus would heal his servant. That's a wishful desire. Jesus said, I will go and I will heal him. Centurion said, look, you don't need to come to my house. You just speak the word and it'll happen. That was biblical hope because it was based on Christ's word. God told Abraham He would give him a great land and make him a great nation. And Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees and he began walking for that land because Abraham had hope based on a promise from God. That's the idea in Romans 8:23. Talks about the redemption of our body. That's glorification. When we'll see Jesus as He is and be like Him. Verse 24 says, in this hope of being like Christ, we were saved. Hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? If we hope for what we don't see, we wait for it with patience, so that the promised certainties of God revealed in Scripture, God's forgiveness and resurrection and Christ's return and seeing our loved ones again up in heaven. Friends, these are not just based on a hopeful wish. They are based on biblical promises from God. Understand the difference between a hopeful wish and biblical hope. The writer of Hebrews wrote, our hope is like an anchor of the soul. It's sure and steadfast. It enters within the veil. Behind the veil of the temple was God himself, and the veil pictured the flesh of Jesus. So our hope of eternal life is in Christ's flesh being torn for us on the cross so we can abide in God's presence forever, and it's this hope that anchors our positive expectations of where we will be in the future, that God increases in us as we believe the Word of God even more and more. The more we believe God's promises, the stronger our hope is. Hope in God's Word about those on the broad road that leads to destruction is what Gladys Aylward read about that compelled her to take radical action to go to China with the gospel. She read what God's Word says, she believed it, and it prompted her actions. It was hope in God's Word were new creations in Christ that compelled a man named Mel Trotter to stop drinking and preach the gospel at the City Rescue Mission for 40 years. Hope in God's Word changed the life of a young preacher that would be named Billy Sunday. Billy played Major League Baseball with the Chicago White Stockings. Isn't it funny? Stockings. One Sunday afternoon, after several of his buddies on a Sunday afternoon had gone to a bar to get drunk, they were sitting on the curb of the corner of State and Van Buren Streets in Chicago, and Billy sat with them on the curb, and across the street was the Pacific Garden Mission. Those of the mission were outside singing the hymns. Billy said, as they sang those hymns, they were the hymns my mother had sung to me when as a child in the little log cabin back in Iowa, I remembered my mother. A man named Harry Monroe, director of the mission, went over to the curb and invited Billy and his friends, come to the meeting. He said, you'll enjoy it. You'll hear how drunkards were saved and how girls in the red light district were saved. And something about all that just rang with Billy's heart and mind. He alone, no one else, he alone that day, he stood up by himself and he said, boys, I'm through. I'm going to Jesus Christ. We've come to a parting of the ways. Whew, that's good. And he said, I turned my back on them. He said, some of them laughed at me and some of them mocked at me. One gave me a word of encouragement, only one, but others never said a word. And Billy said he went across the street to that little mission. He got on his knees and his words, quote, I staggered out of sin and I staggered into the arms of the Savior. Why? It's because he had hope in God's Word that what God said was true. Friend, it's the God of the Bible who gave us the Bible, who gives us his hope. And as we believe the Bible, it fills us with more and more hope as we believe more and more of his Word. A life without belief in God's Word is a life without hope. And that was the life of this famous actress who came to Christ kneeling by the bed of a missionary named Gladys Aylward in Taiwan. The actress's mother died when she was 2 years of age. Her dad died when she was 14. Family claimed to be Lutheran, but she rarely ever went. She had so many marriages and affairs that a U.S. senator named Edward C. Johnson of the state of Colorado condemned her on the floor of the Senate, quote, as a free love cultist and, quote, a horrible example of womanhood and a powerful influence for evil. Can you imagine saying that about a Hollywood actress on the floor of the Senate? The actress's daughter told Larry King she was forbidden to enter the country, and there was actually a vote in Congress where she was made a persona non grata. Her daughter said, I don't love my mother. I like her, but I don't love her. How sad. How sad. But the actress's story would not stay sad, because there was coming a time in her life when there in Taiwan, a small, humble apartment by the bedside of a famous missionary, this famous actress knelt in prayer and called on Jesus to save her. Why? It's because God's the source of hope. He fills us with hope. And we can trust with absolute certainty the promises he's given and what he said is true. Who fills us? God does. How does he fill us with hope? How does he do it? Second phrase of verse 13. With all joy and peace in believing. With all joy and peace in believing. Now this second phrase is what's called in grammar an adverbial phrase, tells us how God might fill them. With all joy and peace in order to believe. Paul's prayer was believers might be filled with greater joy and peace as they believed, literally in the believing. And the greater our believing and the greater our faith, the more joy and peace we will have. Which is a good reason to say go to church every Sunday, right? If you want to increase your joy and peace, you have to increase your faith and believing. Well, how do you do that? How do you do that? Number one, you have to understand what it is you're supposed to believe. Hence the need to go to church and Sunday school and learn God's Word. Read it, study it. And number two, not just understand what it says, but act on what you understand. And as you obey and act on what you understand, you will have more joy and more peace, and God will increase His hope in your life. Understanding requires faithfulness and reading and studying and Bible study and worship. And acting on what you understand requires doing what you understand. That's what Billy Sunday did that day when suddenly the light bulb came on and he stood on the curb and he said, "I'm through, fellas. I'm going to Jesus Christ. We've come to a parting of the ways." And he turned his back on his friends and he went in the Pacific Garden Mission, surrendered his life to Christ. He stood up and he acted on what he believed was true. He said, "I'm tired of not acting on what I believe." That's what Gladys Aylward did that day when she prayed, "God, if you want me to go to China, you're going to have to figure out how to get me there because this little bit of money is all I've got." It's what the famous actress did when she knelt by Gladys Aylward's bed in Taiwan and called on Jesus to save her. It's moving from the realm of understanding to the realm of obeying. Isn't that a great need? Not just to know it, but to obey what we know. From believing to acting. And what happens when you move from the realm where you just know the truth to the realm where you start to obey the truth? You will have joy and what? Peace. Peace. And Paul wrote about the joy and peace and believing. That's what Gladys had. That's what Billy Sunday had. That's what this famous actress eventually had. And friend, if you're not a believer in Christ today, it's what you can have today. You can have it today. Joy and peace in believing. Now, believing so it doesn't change your life is one thing. That's most American church attenders today, believing where it doesn't change your life. But when you believe in such a way you understand it and you act on what you believe and you obey what you understand, oh, that's a different kind of something else. Mel Trotter admitted before Christ he was the most miserable, hopeless, wretched man alive. He was a raging alcoholic, spent every penny he had on booze. There was the time a doctor went to Trotter's home, a small rat-infested basement apartment, and told him that unless your two-year-old son gets some medicine, your two-year-old son's going to die. Of course, Trotter didn't have any money. He'd spent it all on booze, and so the doctor gave him the money personally. He said, "Here, go get the medicine that will save the life of your two-year-old son." And then the doctor said, "Mel, you need to run. Don't walk to the place where you'll get the medicine. Hurry, or it'll be too late." So what did Mel do? He took the money and he went to a saloon. Threw the money on the bar and he shouted, "Let's all drink, boys, it's on me." Soon the money was gone and Mel was drunk again. The saloon keeper let him sleep it off in the back room. He was so inebriated. When Mel got home the next day, neighbors and family were all there in the small apartment. There was a little white box on a stand with the body of his two-year-old son. After the funeral was over, Mel said he slipped the new shoes off the dead toddler's feet so he could take them and sell them for cash to buy booze. He left the house to go back to the saloon. And as he was walking, it dawned on him, "I don't deserve to live. I don't deserve to live." So he changed his direction and started walking to the Lake Michigan to jump in the cold, cold Lake Michigan water and drown to death. But as he walked the Pacific Garden Mission, he said somebody pushed him in the door. He didn't know who it was. Somebody pushed him in the door. Said, "Why don't you go in there, bud? It's nice and warm." And then when he got inside, somebody sat him down in a chair. And the speaker was speaking and he said, "Maybe you've come in here tonight and you haven't even planned it. In fact, you've decided you're going to end it all." Don't you wish you could see his eyes when he said that? "You feel nobody understands and nobody cares and there is no hope. There is no hope." The speaker said, "You'll find all your answers when you come to Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior." The speaker said he not only wants to save you from your mess, he wants to go with you the rest of your life to keep you from getting in all the trouble. So on that cold Monday night, January 18th, 1897, I checked an 1897 calendar. It was a Monday night. Mel Trotter was gloriously saved. And he would lead the City Rescue Mission, that's a different mission in town, for the next 40 years. Trotter saw tens of thousands of lives radically changed to experience joy and peace because they believed in Jesus. And Trotter himself experienced the same joy and peace because his understanding and belief in who Jesus was changed his actions. His believing resulted in obeying, and that resulted in joy and peace. And Christian, that's the way to experience abundant hope. You have to believe in God's word in such a way that it changes your actions. If you do that, you'll have joy and peace. If you do that, you'll have joy and peace. Who fills us with hope? Number one, God does. How he fills us with hope? Our acting on our belief in a way that changes our actions yields joy and peace. And number three, why does he fill us with hope? Why does he fill us with hope? Number three, last phrase of verse 13, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God fills us so that we might abound in hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the ultimate goal of Paul's prayer, that believers in Rome would abound in hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants you and me, Christian, to be strong in our certainty about our future, strong in our faith in the promises of God, strong in our hope in the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. God wants you to be confident in what you believe and empowered to obey it. And make no mistake, you'll never be able to obey what you don't understand and you don't know. You'll never be able to obey what you don't know. And you won't be able to obey it without the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. We need to abound in the hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. As we try to live how the Lord wants us to live, how he's revealed in his word how we ought to live, and as we seek to bring hope to the hopeless. And my goodness, we have a lot of hopeless folks in our world. We're living a very hopeless time in America and hopeless in the world. A lot of bad things are going on. People are looking for hope. They're looking at you. They're watching you to see how you live and what you do and how you smile and what you do on Sunday morning and all those things. And often it's the power of God in another person's life that God uses to get our attention. But unless people see the gospel fleshed out in our lives, they probably will never see a need for it in their own. So right now, just a holy hush moment, think of someone experiencing hopelessness that you know right now, going through a difficult, tough, hopeless time. Who comes to mind? Who's going through that tough time of discouragement, a time of defeat and despondency? And who could use that reminder from you that God can fill them with hope as they believe God's promises? His life was changed, radically changed. See, God's promises are true. Jesus can still forgive all of our sins. He can still declare us righteous so that God sees us in him and not us in us. He can still change our lives. He can still give us meaning and purpose and a home in heaven and the hope we're going to see our loved ones when we get there. Man, how awesome is that? But others need to hear about it. Others need to think about it. They need to understand it, know about it. And whether you're a full-time vocational pastor or full Bible's alive, when they die, they stay in the grave and that's the end of the story. What a great hope that is, right? We die and that's it. Gladys Aylesworth had hope. She grew up in a very poor neighborhood in London. At 18 years of age, she put her faith in Jesus Christ. And not only did she trust Jesus, she believed the Great Commission in Matthew 28. And so she went to China. Nobody would take her. She went anyway. For 15 years, she served as a missionary, running an orphanage there in Yangcheng in China. And then on to Taiwan for 12 years. She continued running an orphanage, sharing with children, adults, everyone, about the hope that's in Jesus Christ. She died in Taiwan at 68 years of age. May I say that gets younger every day? 2 weeks before this really famous actress who played her in the film The End of the Sixth Happiness came knocking on her apartment door. But sadly, the famous actress arrived at her small apartment 2 weeks after Gladys died. 2 weeks after Gladys died. Gladys died January 3rd, 1970, and 2 weeks later puts us right about this same time of year. Oh, I don't know, as today, 1970. But even though that Gladys had died, Gladys's co-worker at the Taiwan orphanage, the co-worker who helped her run the orphanage, was still alive. She was there the day the actress knocked on the door. And she invited her in and she told this famous actress about Jesus and how he can forgive all of our sins and give us peace and joy and hope in heaven. And the actress said, "Can I see your bedroom?" She said, "Sure, come on." They walked in that little pitiful, humble apartment bedroom. And the actress knelt down by Gladys's bed, began to weep uncontrollably. saying, I am unworthy to have played the life of such a godly woman in that film. Well, Gladys's co-worker, who knew the plan of salvation, shared with the actress about the sinner's prayer and repentance and faith, and it said that right there she prayed to receive Jesus as her personal Lord and Savior, there on her knees by that bed in Taiwan. In time, the actress was attending the Presbyterian Church in Palm Springs, California, even reading the narrative of the resurrection from the gospel on Easter Sunday behind the pulpit. And tragically, in time, this famous actress came down with breast cancer, and she died in 1982. The amazing story of Ingrid Bergman's conversion in Taiwan is confirmed by multiple sources. And it was personally shared, this story, by Pastor Dr. D. James Kennedy to his entire congregation, the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Florida. He shared this exact story with his congregation. Here's the bottom line, folks. Truth is, others out there are watching to see how we live. They're watching to see if we believe what we claim to believe. They're watching to see if we have real hope. While they're looking to see if we have real joy. They're looking to see if we have real peace. They're looking, they're watching, they're watching, they're looking, they're always watching. Leaving us to close with this little saying, considering they're watching, considering they're looking, here's looking at you, kid. Live for Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'll increase our hope that we have by increasing our trust in your promises. And Lord, I pray that as we do this, we will experience not just greater joy and peace, but greater hope. And Lord, this is what a world in hopeless despair needs. So give us, through our lifestyle and our words, the words to share to those living in great despair. Thank you, God, we serve a risen Savior. We don't serve one whose body is still buried in the ground, whose remains are still underneath the earth. We serve a living Savior. We know that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We know that He was buried and raised the third day according to the Scriptures. We know He was seen by Peter and the 12 and above over 500 people at one time, and most of those remained alive at the time Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. Thank you, Lord, that there is hope. If there's one here this morning that is not 100% sure they're heaven bound, God, give them the courage to come forward to take that first step like Billy Sunday did that day. And God, to come forward and say, I need to talk to someone about receiving Jesus. I want to receive Jesus today. And God will pair them with a counselor of like gender who can help them. Pray to receive Christ, even as Ingrid Bergman did years and years and years ago. Thank you, God, you're still here, and answer prayer. Bless our invitation right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing 311. I think that's the name of our hymn, Let Jesus Come Into Your Heart Today. If you've never done that, you're not 103% certain if you die today you'd go to heaven. Don't bank on good works. Don't bank on trying. Don't bank on doing your best, man. Trust in the finished work of Jesus and experience the rest of faith. And because you believe in God's promise, you'll have joy and peace that go along with it. And your hope will be stronger. Another decision maybe you have this morning, maybe God's tugging at your heart about being a member of Scott Lake. I'll be waiting for you. Have my little mask here ready to go. If you want to pray, come on down. We'll pray. We have counselors of like gender can go in a quiet place. And they can open a Bible and help you receive Christ today, whatever it might be, all right? 311, be in a spirit of prayer as we stand and sing. I'll wait for you. Come on, let's stand.
Yeah.
more verse if you need to come. Why not do that today? Do what God wants you to do today. This could be the last opportunity you ever have. Obey what God wants you to do. Let's sing the last verse. I think about Billy Sunday that day, Sunday afternoon. How sad. Sunday afternoon, his buddies all going to drink and sitting on that curb. And hey, Monroe, invite somebody to come to church. Invite somebody to come to Christ. You be the person that he was when he invited somebody that, you know, you'd have thought, those guys do not want to hear about coming to Christ. They do not want to hear about salvation, but some will. And by the way, if you look online and listen to Billy Sunday's testimony, you'll read the rest of the story, what happened in the lives of those other baseball players that sat on that curb. It was not good. They all died different deaths. Some were alcoholics. Some just, it's a tragic story that those that had the opportunity didn't come to Christ. So, Harry Monroe, hope you have a great week. You're all Harry Monroe today. Or Harriet Monroe, how's that? Brother Robert, thank the Lord for the privilege we have of giving and being faithful in tithes and offerings. Hope to see you back tonight. I'll be sharing the next part of Hope tonight. And I call it part six or whatever it is. And then next week is Purpose. Hope to see you back for that.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for today. We thank you for the message and the hope that we have and the belief of Jesus Christ as our Savior. We ask now that you bless the offerings and the gifts that are about to be received. We ask you to bless it, to the expansion of your mission and our cause in the community, and not only locally, but internationally too. Lead us and guide us as we go through this week. Bring us back safely. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. See you tonight.